All right. It's good to be here with you this morning. For those that are not here for the first hour, and I was told I went too short. Now I hope I'm not told I go too long. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn that. In 2 Corinthians 4, he said, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through the pulling down of strongholds." Strongholds. The title of this message is "I Thought." Man's thoughts are strongholds. Man's thoughts are weapons against God. What man thinks of God, what man thinks of himself. God said to Adam, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Adam did sin. Adam did disobey God. He died spiritually, and his mind was darkened. They do not know God. Romans 1:21 says, "Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Man has by nature his understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Man's thoughts. And you know, when God judged the earth in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 5, he said he looked down. God judged the earth, and this is what God said. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. I thought. Man's thoughts are continually evil. If God in mercy saves a person, he gives that person a new mind. A new mind. Because man by nature, his thoughts are against God. Or enmity against God. The carnal mind is enmity against God, Romans 8, verse 7 says. That's talking about total inability, total depravity. Total depravity. Man's thoughts are continually evil. All his thoughts about God, all his thoughts about himself. Satan said, "You'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And because man does evil, and God does not strike him dead on the spot, he thinks, "Well, God's like me." He makes himself. Lord said this in Psalm 50, verse 21. He thinks God is like himself. Said, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself." So man in his thoughts does not believe God is holy. That man doesn't he believes that everything is relative. Relative. But God is holy. There's none like God. Holy, holy, holy. Only. Only. Man does not believe that he's a sinner. And man does not believe that the only way to come to God and be accepted is by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man does, that offends man's dignity. That it would take the shedding of blood. I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. Well, the grace of God given us in Christ Jesus. All the grace of God. God reconciled his people unto himself. Man's thoughts are enmity. Now, we are at enmity against God by nature. But God reconciled us to himself by the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, from before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was given as the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And in God's mind and God's eye, he's always looked at his people through the Son, in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is reconciled. And when the fullness of time came, God sent his Son into the world, made under the law, that he might redeem us. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is our message. This is our message to lost, rebellious enemies of God, that God has made the reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm going to read it. If you want to turn there, 2 Corinthians, well, passage well known. I know many have heard it many times. It says, all things are of God, verse 18, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. He has reconciled us. It was we who went away from God. Man went away from God. We and our thoughts became foolish. We and our thoughts were enmity against God. We and our thoughts by nature would bring down the king. Take Jesus Christ off the throne. That's what we would do by nature. Our fist is raised towards heaven, saying, not thy will, but my will be done. But now God is reconciled in Christ Jesus. And has committed, has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. He's given unto us this ministry where we go and declare what God has done in Christ Jesus. Christ reconciled us to God. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world. And you know what that world is. The world he loved with an everlasting love. The world of his chosen people. God's love is in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is a consuming fire. God loves his people. He said, Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. God's love is in the Son. Reconciling. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, their sins, unto them. Not imputing. And hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That is to say, God never charges his people with their sin. He charged them to the Lord Jesus Christ when he was made sin. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The righteousness of God in him. We beseech you. Now God doesn't beseech. God commands. God commands. And unless a person hears the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. But he doesn't beseech. He doesn't beg. The voice of the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the gospel by the Holy Spirit and commands. And when he commands, Lazarus comes forth. The dead man comes forth. The dead man believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. When a man who is dead in trespass and sin, his enmity, when God speaks, that person comes to life. But we beseech you. We beseech you in Christ's stead, as though God did beseech you. Now, men think his thoughts are enmity against God. Enmity, but God is reconciled. He's made the reconciliation by himself. Purpose from eternity. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. But man must and will be reconciled to God by the preaching of the gospel. In other words, no one is going to come before the throne in heaven and not know how they got there. No one is going to come before the throne and going to surprise God. They're going to come by the means which he has ordained, the preaching of the gospel. God the Holy Spirit in regeneration gives that new heart, that new mind, that new will, and that new affection. The new man believes what God says in his word, believes what the Lord Jesus Christ has declared. Now, believes the necessity of the reconciliation and believes everything. He comes and commits to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Isaiah chapter 55. I'm going to come to my text in a minute, but I'm just giving you the Isaiah 55. I'm just giving you the introduction. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Man must repent of his thoughts towards God. His thoughts about himself. He's going to repent of who he thinks God is. He's going to repent of who he thinks he is and how he may come to God. Repent of his sin. Repent of his sins and repent of his own righteousness. Repent. Now, here's my text in 2 Kings chapter 5. I said the title of this message is I Thought. And the verse is verse 11 where Naaman said he was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought. You see that there? Naaman said, I thought. This is a wonderful story of how the Lord Jesus Christ in grace saves his people. Saves his people sovereignly. The Lord Jesus Christ has mercy on whom he will have mercy. He has compassion on whom he will have compassion. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had gone into Galilee and done many works of miracles in there, he came back to the place where he was raised. This is in Luke chapter 4. And he came back to the place where he was raised, and everybody knew him growing up. And they said, well, we know who he is. He's done all these miracles in these other places. We want him to do the same miracles right here. And the Lord Jesus Christ walked into the synagogue and read the scriptures, and after he read the scriptures, he said, this day is this fulfilled in your ear. And everybody gave witness to the grace of God. And he said unto them, you're going to say to me this proverb, or this saying, physician, heal thyself. Of all the things that we've heard you do in other places, do them also right here. And the Lord gave two examples, and he said there were many widows in the days of the prophet Elisha. And to none of them were the prophets sent, but to the widow woman in Sarepta, a Gentile. And there were many lepers in the days of Elijah, and to none of them was, none of these lepers were healed in Israel, but Naaman the Syrian. And these people got furious. You know why they got furious? The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, I'm sovereign. I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. And I'll have compassion on whom I'll have. That's the first thing a man has to change his mind. His mind has to be changed. God is not in your hand to manipulate We are in His hand. What will He do with us? He's in the heavens. We're here on the earth. The first thing has to be changed is this matter of who God is. He's God. But this is a wonderful story how God in His sovereign grace saves someone who is an enemy. Naaman was a general of the capital of Syria, the armies of Syria. And God gives him, God heals this Naaman, this leper. And I want us to read this morning. In 2 Kings chapter 5, it says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given victory or deliverance into Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper." And this is a very good description of all men by nature. All men by nature, whatever degree one may get, whatever position one may attain, titles, the fact is, all men by nature are sinners, dead in trespasses and sin. Lepers. Under the law, a leper, the leprosy is an incurable disease. It's a disease of the blood and affects all aspects of a person's being. And that leprosy was such that constituted a man, made a man to be unclean, had to live outside of the city, could not have communion with anybody inside the city. He had to go around, and if anybody came into his presence, he had to confess, "Unclean, unclean, get away from me." Everything he touched became unclean. That's the picture of us by nature. We're outside the city. We're outside the commonwealth. We're without Christ and without God in the world by nature. By nature. Everything we touch is polluted. Anything a man lifts his hand to do condemns him. The works of the law says this: the cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things written in the law to do them. So anytime a man lifts his hand to do anything in the law can only condemn you. Condemn you. Blessed be God, salvation's by grace. And the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills all the requirements of His holy law. Naaman was a leper. And Naaman, we read there in verse 11, he had thoughts. Though he was a leper, he had thoughts. And you can see he had a position, he had station, he had acceptance, admiration from people around him. And that's what, when people begin to compare people against people. You children, you like to have science projects. You like maggots. Maggots. When men get to comparing man against men, it's a maggot comparing himself against another maggot. Maggots. No matter, you could put a little crown on a maggot, make him the king of maggots. But in the end, he's a maggot. You could build a little house, make a bigger house for him, and have the other houses and other maggots in huts. But he's still a maggot. And this is what describes us by nature. Unclean. God, the one word that describes our God, is holy. Holy, holy, holy. When Isaiah the prophet saw the glory of the Lord there in Isaiah chapter 6, before then, if you read in the chapters before Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah kept saying, "Woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you, woe unto you." But when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, His train filled the temple. When he saw the seraphims with twain, with two covering their their mouth and with two flying, with two covering their feet. The doorpost shook. All the glory, all the building was filled with His glory, the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord, you know what he said? Woe is me. Woe is me. So you could say, woe is you all this time. And that's the characteristic. That's the characteristic of a Pharisee. That's the characteristic of a Pharisee. A Pharisee trusts in himself that he's righteous and he despises others. That's just the other side of the coin. If you have a coin, you have two sides, right? You have a coin, you have two sides, heads and tails. But it's one coin. And anytime you see somebody judge another person, that's because he thinks he's righteous. Those that trust in himself that they're righteous, they despise others. But the grace of God teaches us we're no better. I am what I am by the grace of God. And I have no right to judge. But I'm getting off my point. Here's the point. Naaman was a leper. Naaman was a leper. Unclean. And what describes man by nature is his uncleanness. And what describes God is he is holy. Well, the message is, I thought, Naaman. So here he is. He's an enemy by nature. Nature an enemy. He's off in a far country. And Naaman is not looking for the prophet. He's not looking to know who the true and living God is. Naaman's, as we say, happy where he's at. Anybody that would look at Naaman would say, well, it's going good for you, Naaman. Naaman had this leprosy, you see, but he probably had it hidden. Probably had it hidden under his robes. He's a general. He didn't want to be thought of less, so he probably covered it all up. Well, that's a picture of us by nature. But God is going to strip us. God is going to show us who we are by nature. And notice it says here, and the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited at Naaman's wife. How does God reveal himself to us? How is it that we come to understand who we are and are reconciled to God? How is it we are reconciled to God? God doesn't change. God doesn't change. And we're in our enmity. We're happy. Where we at? Lost. Not seeking after God. The lost sheep is lost. Doesn't know he's lost and he's happy to be lost. How's he going to bring his people to a knowledge of himself? God sends him a messenger. God sends him a preacher. God sends him a messenger. And in this case we have here, the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the Israel, a little maid. And she was a slave. She was a servant in Naaman's house. Think about this for a moment. This little girl, she would have thought, oh, this is really bad. This is really bad. But you know, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. And God's going to make this, He's going to use this little girl to give a message to this man Naaman in a far country. And God is going to send His messengers wherever they're at. He's going to cross their path with a message. He's going to cross their path to give them a knowledge that there is one true God. And she was in this. I think of every time I read that, I think of that passage where the Apostle Paul says, we're lambs for the slaughter. We're considered lambs for the slaughter. That is to say, what really goes on in this life is really inconsequential. There's the kingdom of heaven, the eternal kingdom. These things all pass. These things, the Apostle Paul suffered many things for the elect's sake. And this woman, this little girl, was sent to Naaman's house, and she was serving Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Notice the message is a message of surety, a message secure. This little girl didn't say, "Well, would to the Lord, would to God, this Naaman would go before the prophet. He may heal him." This is the message that we preach. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. It's not but. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and he will save you. It's not a possibility salvation. If you come as a leper, he will save you from your sins. That's a wonderful message. It's a wonderful message. It's not a possibility salvation. He didn't go out on a possibility, but he still has these bad thoughts. Naaman still has these bad thoughts. And one went in, told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, 10 charges of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto you, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." When men sometimes hear the message of God's salvation, they have bad thoughts about how they're going to come to God. They start seeking for advice from others. Start seeking advice from others. I've seen this many times. Someone gets concerned and they start seeking advice from anybody that has a Bible. From anybody that has a Bible, well, I think I'm going to listen to him. Better be careful. They better be speaking the Word of God, because there are many that carry around a Bible and call him Jesus who don't know the Lord. And this man, he went to look for the wrong place. He came looking for relief, salvation, but he brought things with him. Men by nature think that somehow or another they can earn salvation. I could bring something to the table. And some people think that they need to bring enough repentance. If they could only be sorry enough. Some people think that they have to experience some great, they think they're going to bring that to the Lord. Bring tears to the Lord. They feel like they have to produce something. But that's not what the message says. That's not what the gospel we preach says. They come with the wrong things. He came with gold. But we're not redeemed by precious things like silver and gold. Silver and gold cannot buy. Salvation's by grace, by the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into the king of Israel. Some people come to the preacher. God sends messengers, and God's messengers are loved, honored for the message. But the preacher can't save you. The preacher can't do anything. Our message is not come to us. Not come to the front. Not repeat, raise your hand and repeat a word. The preacher can't save you. A person must come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But Naaman, he went to the king of Israel. And it came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send to me, recover this man of his leprosy?" Wherefore consider, I pray you, that see how he seeketh quarrel against me. And it was so that when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he sent him to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come unto me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha went and sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought. Man has thoughts. So Naaman came to the wrong place. And Naaman came with these presents. I want you to turn with me. Hold your place right here. But I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10. False religion, false preachers seek to give you something to do or put something between the sinner and the Savior. Something between the sinner and the Savior. Your faith, your works, your repentance, something between the sinner and the Savior. You must feel a certain thing, or you must do this or that or the other. And false preachers give that. They're giving the man something to do. But that's not the gospel that we preach. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is not do. The message of the gospel is done. It's done. But it's not only we as ministers, the Apostle Paul, when he's talking about the righteousness that men are going about to establish, if you read with me, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's what I want. I want people to be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. That's the righteousness of the law. There's nothing wrong with the law, but the problem is we never have kept the law. We never will keep the law. We're not keeping the law right now. The law is spiritual. It goes beyond what you do with your hand and what you look at. It goes to the intentions of the heart, the thoughts and imaginations. That's what the law of God requires, perfection. Perfection. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that fulfilled that law. As a man, he honored and obeyed God's holy law. He established righteousness here on the earth. Bless God, that is the righteousness that is everyone, it's everyone that believes is made that righteousness in Christ Jesus. But now look at here. But the righteousness which is of faith, the righteousness which is of faith, the righteousness which is by the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. We're not saved by our faith. No one is saved apart from faith. But we're not saved by our faith. Our faith didn't die for us. Our faith didn't establish righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, He's the one that established righteousness. He's the one that put away our sins.
I can't say it any clearer. Keep your place here in Romans because I'm fixing to come back there. Go to Galatians chapter 2. I think it says it really clear right here. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified. That's what we're talking about. Being just, pronounced just by God. Man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. The faith, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how a man is justified before God, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. That's the faith God gives his people. We believe in Christ Jesus. We trust his finished work. We trust him for our righteousness. We trust his blood to put away our sins. We rest in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not trying to save ourselves. We're not trying to contribute to this finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we believe on him. And it says here, the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Go back over here to Romans chapter 10. It's talking about righteousness. Man thinks that he's going to establish righteousness by the doing of the law. But the righteousness which is of faith. Now remember the title of the message is, I Thought. And these thoughts are strongholds in the minds of men. Naaman said he went away mad. He came with all his chariots and all his horses and all this silver and gold and raiment. He came into the little house of the prophet there. The prophet didn't even go out to see him. Just gave him a message. Go wash. Go wash 7 times and you'll be clean. He thought, so mad. I thought for me, I'm somebody. I'm somebody. Don't he know who he's talking to? I thought for me, he'd surely come out and he'd do this ceremony. Men like to have rituals. You know, they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Men like to have it. They like to come down and kneel. They like to raise their hand and repeat a prayer. They like to be seen. That's not how God saves his people. He saves his people without you moving a muscle. Right where you're sitting. It's like that. God gives life. And when God gives faith, he also grants repentance. Man, he said, I thought. But now look at the message of we preach. There's the message of the law. Do it and live. Don't do it, die. Verse 6 says, but the righteousness which is of faith, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ, speaketh on this wise. Notice what it says. The first thing it says is in the negative. Have you ever noticed that? The first thing it says is in the negative. Say not. Say not. You see that? It says, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring down Christ from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? What's the first thing? It's saying, don't you put obstacles. The preacher of the gospel, the preacher of the salvation, we're not putting obstacles. We're saying, come, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you hear this message, don't you put up obstacles. Don't you say in your heart, who's going to ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ. Christ already came. Don't you say who's going to ascend into the deep? Christ already rose. The work is finished. Don't you say in your heart, I've got to feel this. I've got to experience this. Don't you say anything. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's the I thought. That's the I think I've got to start reading my Bible. Do read your Bible. But don't think. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do come to church. This is where the gospel is preached. But don't think. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's there or it's not there. It surprises you. One day, the light comes on. And you don't decide to believe. You don't decide to believe. If this was a completely darkened room, imagine. A darkened room. We've got windows. We can't do it. If it was a darkened room and the lights were out, you could have good eyes but not see because there's no light. But if you close your eyes right now and you open your eyes, do you decide to see? You don't decide to see. If you have the faculty of the eyeball and you have the light, you see. You don't decide. I'm not going to decide to see you. I see you. I can't not do it. Is that good English? Can't not do it. It's surprising. I'm not a grammar. Y'all forgive me. A person does not decide to believe. When God gives light, when God shines the light of the glory of the gospel, of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, I see. I didn't see before. Saul of Tarsus hated the Lord Jesus Christ, determined to wipe away anybody that confessed him to be the Christ. And surprise of surprise, Christ was revealed in him. He was looking for Christ out there, and he was surprised when Christ was revealed in him. The word is nigh you. It's nigh you. It's so near you. It's in you. It's if it's in you. And so when it's in you, like all of a sudden you listen differently. Your eyeballs. I love to see when people start listening with their eyeballs. Do you know what I'm talking about? Their eyes get big. I never heard that. I've seen this many times. People stand there and they just can't wait till you stop talking. And then all of a sudden they're sitting on the edge of their pew and their eyeballs are big as saucers and you watch and you think, the Lord's doing something. Then they come tell you they want to be baptized. The Lord did something. Well, I had an inclination that was happening. But I didn't say anything because I could see them listening with their eyeballs. It's like, I never heard that before, but I'm hearing it now. The word is nigh you, even in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt be saved because he saved you. Thou shalt be saved because he saved you. Saved you from eternity. Saved you in time, and is saving you right now. And shall continue saving you. Now, go back to the text here. Naaman said, I thought. Surely he'd come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. People like to see those charlatans on TV do that kind of stuff, don't they? It's awful. Strike them on the head and they fall back. They like to see something. Well, here he's hear his thoughts. He said, I thought that he was going to do this ceremony. It requires ceremony. But man is not born by the will of man, by the will of the flesh, or of blood, but of God. It's not a ceremony that we could perform. Catholics, Roman Catholics believe that and they teach that in the sacraments are wrapped up the grace of God. In other words, they control who's going to get into the kingdom of heaven. That's why when they baptize them, they say they baptize them in the kingdom of heaven. The communion. They teach that in these things, in these material things, in the ceremony or in the mass, is actually the body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought. And here he says, are not Abana and far rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Here's a man's thoughts. Well, you could be saved many different ways. Have you ever heard anybody say that?
as long as we're honest, as long as you're sincere. You know, you have people that trust in Mohammed and trust in Buddha and trust in Mary, as if there were many ways. But there's only one name given among men where we must be saved. Christ Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And here's these two rivers in his territory that were clean rivers. I'd prefer to get a bath in a clean river, wouldn't you? I looked at these streams and some of them just want to just jump out and get in them right now. Others, I think, ooh, I don't want to get into that. I'd have to get a bath after I got out of there. So if you had your rather, you'd get a nice, clean, crystal clear stream. And this man is saying, aren't these rivers better? Aren't it just, I could wash in them. Can a man be saved hearing a false message about Jesus Christ? What about that? Are those churches all around the United States right now that are preaching a Jesus who wants to save, but he can't save unless you... Isn't that just as good? No. There's no gospel in that. There's no Savior in that. This is another Jesus. This is another gospel. And believing in a false Jesus will lose you just as fast as believing in Buddha. Does that make sense? Believing in a false gospel, which is no gospel, will lose you just as fast as not having any religion at all. And this man says, well, aren't these others just as good? I could go over here. Oh, no. The message is, come to Christ. Come be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And not a false Jesus. Aren't they just as clean? I could be washed today. And he went away in a rage. Bless God. God's going to have the victory over his rebellious people. He's going to have the victory. I love to see people get mad or people get glad. They usually get mad before they get glad. But they get infuriated because now this is going to require him stepping out of his chariot. He's going to have to go to that muddy river Jordan. And he's going to have to strip his clothes. He's going to have to strip his clothes. It's going to expose his rotten flesh. And he's going to have to get into that river and dip seven times. Dip seven times. Oh. Wouldn't somebody just like to believe secretly on the Lord Jesus Christ? Believe secretly on the Lord Jesus Christ. No. Those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ are not going to be ashamed. And they are going to confess Him. They're going to confess that they are sinners. And that their only salvation is salvation by the blood, by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. And they're going to come to Christ as sinners, confessing that there's nothing good in them. And their only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ, His precious blood that was shed. Secret agents. People want to be secret agents. People are going to confess. The Lord's going to, whosoever believeth and confesses, man is going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Whosoever shall deny me also will deny before my Father, the Lord said. Well, he says, aren't these just as good? And he went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had said unto thee, do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much the rather than when he said unto thee, wash and be clean? Someone said, well, that you're preaching this easy believism. If you can believe, believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust. Believe. on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It is impossible with man. But when God works in a person's heart, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, that person comes believing, submitting, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went down, he dipped himself, he stripped his clothes off, and he went into the Jordan 7 times. Notice, according to the saying of the man of God, according to the word of God, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in him, and thou shalt be saved. That's the message of the gospel. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Look unto him and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. Trust him. Trust his finished work. Can you imagine him going down? He had to dip 7 times. That's talking about the perfect finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing to be added. But can you imagine he went down the first time and came back up, he still got leprosy. He went down the second time, he still had leprosy. He went down the third time, the fourth. He came up the 7th time and he didn't have any leprosy. Like a little baby. Well, a person that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is right now justified. Freely justified. Saved forevermore. But I want us to think about this. You who do know the Lord Jesus Christ, you who have come and are coming, it's not an experience of the past. It's a continual coming. It's a continual coming until one day you open your eyes and you see him and you're just like him. Because in this world, in this flesh, dwells no good thing. And if it's your experience, as experience of the Apostle Paul, says, I know that in this flesh dwells no good thing. I've come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know that in him I have righteousness. I know that in him I'm perfect before God. I'm accepted in the Beloved. I'm perfect. But when I look inside, all I see is sin. You keep coming. You keep coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. You keep washing. You keep coming to him. You keep trusting him. You keep trusting his blood. You keep trusting his righteousness. It's to whom coming? It's believing. You live on the Lord Jesus Christ. One day, you'll open your eyes and you'll be free from sin. Free from the presence of sin. Made unto his likeness. The thoughts of man's mind, the thoughts of men are enmity against God. God must strip these thoughts from our mind. Salvation's by grace. He gets all the glory. May the Lord bless his word. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you sent to save your people. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Lord, we pray that you accomplish your will. We know that your word will not return to you void. Call your people, Lord. Have mercy. We're thankful for the power of your gospel, that you will not allow any of your people to continue in their thoughts, but we cause us to be reconciled to you and to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for, Father, for the time that we've had together. Pray your blessings upon your word. Now, pray that you would dismiss us. Father, be with us. Deliver us from evil. Cause us to walk in communion and fellowship with thee, and testimony of what you've done for us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.